What is up, guys? It's Brayson here, as always, with Alonzo, my main man from Mexico. Getting ready to go back to college, finally. The bum's been out of school for 6 months now.
Well, last semester I was in school, it was the second semester of senior year. So I've basically been out of school for all of 2018, if you're going by that.
Dear
God. It's the best. We love it, man.
What a life.
We love it. Don't hate the player. Hate the game. Hate the quarter system. Shout out Northwestern. I love your quarter system.
Actually, the other day, I have hellacious dreams all the time. I have night terrors, all sorts of bad stuff. So I have two really extremely hard classes, like grad school level classes, and I had a nightmare about failing tests in both of these classes with the same teacher, and I woke up in a sweat. I was so nervous. I was scared. I wanted to study at like 3 a.m., so I'm not in a good place right now. And all I do is watch Patriots tape, by the way, and just talk about the Patriots on Twitter.
Yeah,
so I need to cut
I was probably
out.
Playing Madden while you were stressing out about it. Yeah, I was playing Madden, watching a little week one. We love it.
Yeah, something we love is the Jags game coming up this weekend.
Nope.
Yeah, we love it. And it's called by Telvin Smith, I think, the biggest game
Miles
of
Jack.
His career.
Yep.
Which is, you know, Miles Jack, you know, same guy pretty much. One of them has knee problems, though.
Yeah.
But it was the biggest game by them. I said on Twitter I've seen this story before. And I'm just gonna lay it out for you, buddy. The number one thing the Giants did that I didn't like was, first of all, in probably more than 10 snaps, they brought out extra offensive linemen. And, like, two extra offensive linemen, one extra offensive lineman, and we're trying to pound the rock down the Jaguars' throats. Yeah, I don't know if you guys know this. Not good at all. It's not good. If you look up Saquon Barkley's numbers on those plays with extra O-linemen, it's probably negative yards because the Jags have an excellent run defense, especially on the interior. I don't see us running the ball on the Jags at all. And that was really scary to me. I was really scared about that. You're not going to be able to pound.
Yeah, so no, you're right about that. And the thing is, like, the Jags are good everywhere, and the Giants have great skill players everywhere. So, you know, theoretically, it was a pretty nice matchup, just talent on both sides. But then you remember the Giants drafted a running back second overall. And their game plan in large parts of Sunday's game was just trying to bring football back to like 1967 with the extra offensive linemen. It was horrible. Besides Barkley's long touchdown, they did almost nothing on the ground. And I think it won't be much better for the Pats if they were to try to attack like that.
Yeah, I'm just going to go out on a limb and say there's no chance we're going to see Lager and Waddle come in there and try to smack Calais Campbell in the mouth. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, no.
But something I would like to see the Patriots do is just come out in two tight end sets with Jacob Hollister, because we know Dwayne Allen sucks. He's not going to catch any passes. He's no threat. And the Giants have a little bit of success with two tight end sets, as did a lot of teams last year against the Jaguars. And I want to see the Patriots do this with Hollister. I know you can tell me Hollister's not Gronk. I think you're wrong about that. He's pretty close, in my opinion. But the guy can catch three or four balls, and I think he'll get some opportunities in the middle of the field. I think he'll get some opportunities on some outs, things like that. The other thing we don't want to see is the Pats in 11. Because the Jaguars absolutely eat teams in 11, and we saw this in the AFC Championship game. They will eat you in 11. They will absolutely eat any team in 11. Jalen Ramsey, Bouye, their pass rush, their linebackers cover like corners. I think their linebackers are probably better at covering than their slot corner, because their slot corner is awful, along with their free safety, Gibson. He's not good at all. So those are the favorable matchups for the Patriots, the slot corner and Gibson, because he's not good at all. So I think that Jalen Ramsey might line up on Gronk a few times, and I don't know how to feel about that. I think that's not good for the Patriots, but I don't know, man. I think there's some way that the ways the Patriots can win. You know, Bouye is a good corner and stuff, but he can get beat to the inside, Alonzo. Like, I'm just telling you, he can beat Bouye to the inside.
It's fair. Like, what you're saying is fair, but I'm just of the mindset that if the Jags just come out and say, all right, we're manning up Bouye and Ramsey on Hogan and Brissett, our outside threats are just completely eliminated. Like, it's over. Hogan struggled separating against, like, Jonathan Joseph last week. And in the AFC Championship game, he had one catch. So I don't really need to tell you, I think, that if they line up Ramsey or Bouye on him, he's done. Like, he's not going to make much of an impact at all. Dorsett, I think we like Dorsett. I think Dorsett's upside might be a little higher, like, in a game like this than Hogan's. But we're talking about the Jags. Like, they're top two corners. They were, at one point last season, maybe the two best corners in the NFL. Or at least they were playing like it. And, like, if we have Chris Hogan and Phil Dorsett, and that's just what we have. It's not ideal at all. So if they were to do that and then just beat the shit out of Gronk at the line and double team him on every single play, I don't know how we move the ball. Because like you said, their linebackers, even if they'll give up some catches, their speed makes it so that you're not getting much after the catch with those catches. And we even saw a little bit of that last year in the AFC Championship game, where the Pats try to get it out to Deion Lewis and James White in the flat, and they just couldn't make anything happen after the catch. And that's why, I mean, I see us having a really difficult time moving the ball in this game. I think even you go back to last year's AFC Championship game, and A, the Pats probably shouldn't have won that game. The Jags sort of crumbled into a little shell, and that gave the Pats a little bit of an opening. But the two drives the Pats scored on, or some of the drives the Pats scored on, like, it was the Brandon Cooks pass interference and the Gronk 15-yard where he got concussed. That was one drive. Then it was Amendola, the punt return, to set up the game-winning touchdown. I mean, they traveled like 40 yards on that drive. And then they had to pull out the flea flicker for the touchdown to make it 20-17. So I just don't see how they have all that much success moving the ball at all in the passing game, to be quite honest.
Okay, so what I think the Patriots are going to do, they're like, the problem is you don't want Chris Hogan on an island away from the formation with Jalen Ramsey. That's really bad. Or A.J. Bouye. Yeah. Like you said, that's really bad. What they'll probably do is they'll be closer to the formation. They'll bunch the players up, and they'll try to get open with little rub routes, and they'll attack the Jaguars horizontally, which I think they'll be able to do. I think they'll be able to use their formations and these little rub routes, like taking Hogan on the outside in the slot, and just have him run a natural slant, get him on the linebacker, James White out in the flat. I think they'll be able to formation their way to points on this game. I don't think they'll have much problems moving the ball within the 20s, but I think the big problem is in the red zone. Like, you absolutely cannot run on the Jaguars, and with that little space and how quick they are, it's going to be really hard to score. So, it's, you know, I think if you can get to 15 points, you probably win. So if they can score one touchdown and three field goals, they probably win the game. Or even three field goals, four field goals. I think they'll be able to do it. They might score 20, and if they do, I think they'll win because, our defense is shutting this Jaguars team down this time.
Obviously, as you can tell, I'm pretty pessimistic about the offense just in general. I think I like the idea of attacking them horizontally, and it's similar to game plans we've had against teams like Seattle in Super Bowl 49 and, mm-hmm. you know, Seattle when we've played them, you know, 2016, the Falcons in Super Bowl 51, even a little bit the Jags last year. I think the main issue with it is that in all those games, the Pats had one of or both of Edelman and Amendola. And Hogan is not really the type of horizontal stretch player that those guys are. And Dorsett, as I just like, we've never seen him do it. Maybe he can. Maybe that's just a part of his game that's still waiting to be unlocked. But I'm going to have to see it before I'm saying that we're going to be moving the ball with really much of any ease on these guys. And I don't know, like, would you prefer the Jags play Ramsey on Gronk? Because I think I might, to be honest.
Yeah, it would make things easier. It would definitely make things a little easier. I mean, if you put Ramsey on Gronk, then you could probably play 11 a little bit easier. Or you could play Dorsett and Hogan and Patterson out there. Or, you know, I don't know if Corey Coleman's going to play, but it would make it easier. You could be a lot more versatile in your formations. And maybe you could run the ball a little bit easier to the outside. I don't know. I think, you know, yeah, it goes both ways. But also, this is going to be a Phil Dorsett game, just so you know. This is a Phil Dorsett
yeah,
game.
I think going that...
off. Phil Dorsett off. Going
It'll
off.
Be...
Sound the alarm.
I think the alarm was already sounded on Sunday against Houston. But because Phil Dorsett's good. He's going to be good this year. But, yeah, I think it sort of takes a special player against to make really significant contributions at receiver against the Jags. It takes either a special, like an Odell type, or a guy that's just a shitty matchup for him, like an Edelman and Amendola. And right now, I just don't think the Pats have it. But, like, going back to the Ramsey-Gronk thing, if they play Ramsey on Gronk, they lost Aaron Colvin, and one of Hogan or Dorsett in that scenario has a pretty favorable matchup against DJ Hayden, who's their number three corner. Because he wouldn't be playing in the slot in that scenario. And DJ Hayden, for those who have followed his career, they know he's not very good. So there's that. And Gronk would win some of his matchups on on Ramsey. So I don't think it would really be the worst thing in the world, even though it might leave them a couple extra defenders just lurking there on the yards after catch type stuff. I'd like Burkhead to play in this game, but because, you know, you just don't want it to be like 75 snaps of James White, or you don't really want to be counting on Michelle in a huge way. So Burkhead in this game, just taking a little bit of the load off White would be pretty huge.
Yeah, Michelle's got to play, and Burkhead's got to play. One of those two, they're going to be getting smacked in the mouth. They're going to look like crash test dummies out there when they go to the inside, and you're going to have to, you almost have to do it because you kind of have to run the ball at some point. But this might be like a Brady 40-45 throws game, and we might get 40 yards on the ground, like maybe.
Yeah, we struggled even a little bit on the ground against Houston. And Houston has a really good front, but the Jags are just on another level. Like they're on another level from even Philly, because the Jags linebackers are, you could make a case, they're both Pro Bowl, all pro caliber players. They're really freaking great. Miles Jack is a stud. Like he is a budding superstar, or already a superstar in the league. And Telvin Smith, like if you've followed him at all, you can, you know, they're the fastest linebacker duo in the NFL, and they're just great in just about every facet of the game. And it'll be hard. It'll be really hard, I think, to move the ball. Even like if the Pats were to go to tight end, or if they were to go 21 with Devlin and spread formations out of that, if the Jags don't respect the run game, like they could just bring in Ronnie Harrison, who's their third round pick, and play a little bit of big nickel with three safeties. And they couldn't do that last year. They were kind of forced to play Posluszny in the base, and he couldn't cover much ground. This year it's different. And this year it might be even harder in those situations where we get their base defense on the field to move the ball. So let's just say I'm not too optimistic about the offense, but luckily the Jags still have Blake Bortles at quarterback.
Right, and our boy Trent Brown's got to have a big game on Ngakoue, who manhandled his shoulder last game. And also, you don't like it, but I think Calais Campbell on Marcus Cannon is a pretty favorable matchup. All things
considered. I mean, as far as favorable matchups go against Calais Campbell, I guess. But number one, I think last week Dante Fowler didn't play, and they were forced to use Laurenti McCray a little bit. And actually, he played 35 snaps as their third defensive end behind Ngakoue and Campbell. And this week, it'll be Dante Fowler. And Dante Fowler also kind of took Nate Solder's his lunch money last year. So they just have a really good front, man. And the Patriots have really good tackles. And it'll be a chess match, I think. The fact that the Jags are at home and that last year they were in Foxborough for the AFC Championship game, that'll make some difference. And it's the biggest test that you can throw at the offense in the first month of the season that almost that you can imagine, right? No Edelman, arguably the best defense in the NFL on the road, week two. You're going into the game with one healthy running back who you trust, and the other guys, if they play, are either a rookie or concussed. So we'll see. It'll be a challenge.
Now you wait until see concussed Burkhead runs for 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. Yeah.
Yep.
one for the ages. Yeah, you're right, man. This is going to be a really tough game. I do think at the end of the day, the Patriots are going to be able to scheme their way to some points and just do enough to win the game, and they have Tom Brady, and they're going to find a way to make it work.
We'll see. I hope.
And now we can just talk about the Jags' offense, which is even more explosive than the defense.
Yeah, they are elite. They're a great unit. Blake Bortles, Belichick said it. He's up there with Cam as a mobile quarterback, so I don't know.
You know, for this game, it's kind of a similar game to last week, except, you know, containing the quarterback in the pocket. So I think they'll probably use Van Noy on the edge, and I would like to see him use their diamond front with Kyle Van Noy on the edge, Flowers on the edge, three big guys in the middle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can see it. Van Noy on the edge, I think it worked so well last week, and it's such a similar concept when you're playing Bortles that you gotta, like, you just gotta roll with it again. You use Van Noy on the edge, Hightower, the great Jawan Bentley, and that's kind of your front, and you rotate those players.
Yeah, for sure. I don't think they'll have any problem with getting pressure or setting the edge, anything like that. That won't be a problem. The problem will be with guys like Chung, in the nickel, these type of guys that they have to get off blocks. Absolutely have to, especially Fournette plays, because last week we saw a little bit, I think they were kind of daring the Texans to run a little bit of it, but at times you had Chung as the only guy on a guard or, a tight end. So we got to get off those blocks and make Bortles play from behind. I don't want to see another four run.
I think the difference between this week and last week is that at times last week they kind of dared the Texans to run it, and this week the whole game is going to be daring Bortles to throw it over their heads and beat them.
Yep. Yeah, for sure. I mean, Bortles threw like three or four interceptable passes down the sideline. He was so confident throwing the ball down the sideline. Like, I have never seen someone that bad be so confident. But he would just look to the left, see a corner ISO'd on the wide receiver, just chuck it up there. Just no other read, just boom, throwing it. Gilly's going for two interceptions this game.
Yeah, by the way, guys. We love it. And Gilly will continue to own the Jags. That'll be great. In terms of their receiving options, they don't really have anyone that scares you. Even when – like when Marquise Lee went down, you could kind of see they have a lot of guys that are kind of on a similar level with Keelan Cole, D.D. Westbrook, Dante Moncrief, D.J. Chark. You know, the Pats shouldn't have too much of a problem just matching up, let's say, Gilmore with Cole, Rowe with Moncrief, and John Jones on the slot. It'll be no big deal, I guess. I think one guy we do have to look out for is Corey Grant, the running back. He only played 6 snaps last week, but if you remember the AFC Championship game, you could make a case he was the best offensive player on the field for the Jags in that whole game.
Yeah, which is why I hope Fournette is healthy.
Like you could make a case for it, but I don't know if I trust them to use Grant really much at all. And the other thing is that now we have the running back in the passing game eraser, the great Jawan Bentley. So how could Grant he could limit Grant, I guess. I don't know. It's scary. It's scary either way.
Yeah, but you're totally right about the wide receivers. I think Cole's the best player. They like to use him a good fair amount across the formation, stuff like that. He's the best player. Moncrief didn't do anything last week. Yeah. Not too scared of him. Westbrook was all right. They probably put Jones on him. And Safarian Jenkins looked really slow.
Yeah.
Looked very good, which he kind of killed the Patriots with the Jets, but not too afraid of him. So I think the Patriots' biggest thing is just stopping the run out of 11, which we all know they couldn't do last year. And I think they'll do a lot better this year. That's the only thing that scares me. Just stop the run out of 11. Danny Shelton, Lawrence Guy, Malcolm Brown, just load the front and hope your linebackers can make the tackles. And our corners aren't getting beat by this guy.
They aren't getting beat by this guy or by his receivers. Like, these aren't intimidating guys to match up with at all.
What, you're not scared of D.D. Westbrook?
I'm sorry, I'm not. Now, even here's the thing about the Jags, though. They have a lot of guys. It's like, it sounds stupid and it sounds simple, but they have 4 receivers that they use. Safarian Jenkins played 55 snaps for him. James O'Shaughnessy, former Patriot, 26 snaps. Niles Paul, 17 snaps. They'll move some of their running backs. I guess if Fournette doesn't play, it'll be Yeldon and Grant. And if Fournette plays, it'll be those 3. They'll rotate those guys. They just have a lot of guys that the Pats are going to have to prepare for. And they can throw a lot of looks at New England. But really, the defense should have no problems in this game.
Yeah, you're totally right. And they use a lot of 3 tight end sets. I'm just hoping they do some of that stuff. Just make the Patriots go heavy and just totally obliterate the run. Because usually when the Patriots have to stop the run, they kind of do it. Similar, I think it'll look similar to the Titans game, probably the playoff game from last year. Yeah. Just stop the run. Just stop the run and
have some fun,
absolutely, as Chandler Jones would say.
The thing is, when the Jags do bring in their 3 tight end sets, and they'll do it some in this game, the Patriots don't have to worry much about the run. They're going to have to worry about the pass. It's the inverse of the Jags running out of 11 is when they're passing out of heavier formations. And we saw a little bit of that in the Super Bowl against Philly on that 4th down, which was still offensive pass interference, still to this day. OPI, clear pick play. Fuck you, Brent Celek. That when they bring in 3 tight ends and the 3 of them are at least, you know, they're not non-factors in the passing game, the Patriots do have to be on the lookout, I think, for the Jags throwing out of those heavier looks and trying to attack Bentley, Hightower, Van Noy, Roberts in coverage.
Yeah, you're right. I'm pretty sure they actually scored a touchdown out of 3 tight ends, which is really weird to see. Just a play action tight end looks like he's blocking, just leaks out and gets an easy touchdown. Yeah, that can't happen.
The Bills signed Ryan Lewis to their practice squad. Just came up on my Twitter.
Former Patriots legend.
Former Patriots legend.
but I think the Patriots won't have any problems with this game. I think, you know, they had like 53% of pressure and against the Texans, and they really didn't blitz that much either. I think they'll blitz Bortles a little bit more.
Yeah, I think it'll be a similar game plan. They'll just try to keep him in the pocket, and like what they can't do is give up big plays, be it in the passing game where Bortles just throws it over their heads, or Bortles scrambling for 40 some yards like he did against the Giants. That's what can't happen, because what I'm pretty confident in saying the Jags can't do is marching the ball down the field on like a 15 play drive and putting the ball in the end zone. But if they can get you on a chunk play, it's different.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, for sure. So are we going to see Derek Rivers this game?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I think this is Davis played pretty good. Great. I don't really know. Yeah, I don't see the reason why you would exchange Davis for Rivers at this point.
And it's unfortunate, because I think Rivers, if they could just dress everyone that was healthy, Rivers would have a role. But it's just not the reality. I'm curious to see who the inactives are going to be. I don't really know off the top of my head. And obviously injuries are going to determine some of that. But just who they dress, and that'll be fun to see, because I could just as easily see Corey Coleman being inactive as him being the third receiver in 11 personnel.
Yeah, me too. If Corey Coleman can play 10 snaps, I consider that.
Yeah, but he could be inactive. It's the same.
Yeah, right.
Like, it could be him or it could be Fowler. I have no idea how they view those guys.
I wish Dwayne Allen was
inactive. Oh, boy. Him and his $3.8 million cap hit.
You know, this is a Dwayne Allen game, which is why I said Jacob Hollister is so important to the two tight end sets, because Dwayne Allen is not a threat. But if he was, it would be a Dwayne Allen.
You know what?
It's not. So it won't be a Dwayne Allen.
But if Hollister is ready to go, what I said about the Jags trying to throw out of their three tight end sets, it applies to the Pats too.
Three tight end sets? Extra offensive lineman, Dwayne Allen, rolling at it.
Now,
I like it. Does he have to check in? Does Dwayne Allen have to check in as an eligible receiver when he walks onto the field?
He should have to.
Checking in, Dwayne Allen.
At some point, they're going to throw him a little tight end leak out like they did with Solder in the Colts AFC Championship game. And John Harbaugh is going to cry and change a rule.
Yeah, Jalen Ramsey's going to be pissed off because they thought Dwayne Allen was actually a right tackle. Yeah, for sure, man. I'm excited for this game. It's a night game. It's an away game. It's one of the rare, like, huge Patriots tests at the beginning of the season. I don't remember many, like, where you just get probably the best or the second best opponent you're going to face with the depleted wide receiver core without Edelman at the beginning of the season. Like, hasn't happened in a while, and it's a night game. It's an evening
right
game,
yeah, anyway. It'll be great, I think. And it's the biggest test they could have right now.
But when's the last time the Patriots lost a 4 o'clock start game, Alonzo?
The last time the Patriots lost a 4 o'clock start game. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay.
Yeah, probably. So. I want to say some Geno Smith Jets game.
That was 1 o'clock.
That was 1 o'clock.
2013. The overtime game against the Jets was 1 o'clock. Dolphins game 2015 was 1 o'clock. 2016 Bills was 1 o'clock. Seahawks was Sunday night. 2017 they lost Monday night, the opener, and a 1 o'clock. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Rodgers. Oh no, it was Philly. It was Philly 2015.
Shit show. The debacle in Philly.
Yeah, Nate Ebner kicked the rugby onside kick, and they lost after that. That game.
And is there anything, any sort of analysis we're missing from this game? What, anything we missed here?
No, I don't think so. Corey Coleman, better than Riley McCarron.
Maybe he might be. He could be. Is he breathing? That's what I want to know.
Kenyon Barner.
Oh, he's better.
Kenyon Barner is a punt returner. I would hope so.
Yeah, but he muffed 4 punts in the last 27.
Yeah, minutes. That's not ideal.
Yeah, that was shocking to me when I saw that's not a Belichick stat.
He had 27 punt returns last year and 15, I think, fair catches, and he muffed 4 punts. So do with that what you will. What I will say, just game script wise, they can't fall behind. Because
no, they have to win the first quarter. Absolutely have to win.
They have to win the first quarter, and they have to make it like a 2 possession. They just have to keep the Jags at arm's length basically the whole game.
Yeah, definitely do. Phil Dorsett's going to come out, make it 7-0. Gilmore's going to make it 14-0. Going to have a pick 6. So, that should set them back. They're not going to score 10 points.
Yeah, this defense, it's a test because the Jags are going to come out with adjustments. And we think this pass defense is going to be at least good and maybe really good. And seeing how they respond the first game after a great opener is – I can't wait.
And my last question is this the game where the Patriots go hurry up, as I always ask, at every important game there's ever been?
I think it might be because they might.
I think you almost have to.
And also it's September and they might want to be testing the Jags conditioning a little bit. That's like a sneaky factor to it. And let's say the Pats get the Jags try to play big nickel against James Devlin in 21 personnel. The Pats are just going to try to run it down their throats. Whether it works or not, that's another story. But they're going to try to keep that same personnel group from the Jags on the field. And they'll get something favorable with a heavy set. And I think when they get it, they'll try to go hurry up.
If Trent Brown can improve as a run blocker in this game, just improve just a little bit from where he was in the Texans game, I think they might be able to run the ball just enough to where it's not detrimental. They might, 2 to 3 yards a carry.
2 to 3 yards a carry is detrimental.
It's optimism to think they're going to carry. You're going to have 2 to 3 yards.
All right, carry. Let me throw an X factor at you. What if Sony Michel plays and he's just like a superstar?
Well, that would be nice. I'd like to see Sony Michel catch the ball out of the backfield. I think that's where Sony Michel could succeed.
And just like make a guy miss. Like, because it's on the table that the guy could be like just special, right?
Right. Yeah, totally. Like, for example, when the Jags played the Giants, they had a nice little counter play where Saquon was lined up was one on one with Telvin Smith. If that's Sony Michel and he beats Telvin Smith touchdown, you love to see that. But unfortunately, the man has arthritis, and he will be out in five plays.
Don't say that. We cannot afford another fucking injury.
No. No. Sonny Michel is going to be good this game if he plays a little bit.
They should – I'll say – I said it, I think, on the last pod, and I am sure I've said it in our DMs. The Pats are going to re-sign Mike Gillisley when the Saints cut him.
Love it. Pound the rock with the
Gillisley. I don't think Gillisley's that good, but he is a guy who knows the system. And he flashed a little bit last year, and the Pats need a body. So maybe keep an eye out there when the Saints – when Mark Ingram comes back and the Saints just have no need for him. It would make sense.
Yeah, especially if Burt Class keeps getting hurt.
Oh, man. I feel so bad for that guy. It's shitty luck.
Yeah, it really is. I love Burkhead, and he's pretty good. It's really, you know, we didn't talk about it too much. It really sucks that Jerry Mahill's not playing because he looked really good. He blocked a punt. He was good in pass pro. He was really quick, looked to be in the best shape of his life. This would be a Jerry Mahill game if there ever was one.
Yeah.
And I'm really disappointed and sad. And also sad for Burkhead because he's always hurt.
It just sucks all around, really. And they shouldn't have cut Bolden. I said it last pod too. Shouldn't have cut Bolden. They cut Bolden with the intention of bringing him back, and they signed two receivers who are no longer on the team.
And I'm just warning you right now, if every play that I don't like from Sonny Michel, you guys could look at my timeline because you'll know because I'm going to tweet a picture of him being cross-eyed.
Jackass.
You're just going to get a picture every time. I don't care how many times it is. It's going on the
feed. Dickhead.
You're going to – don't report me for spam. Don't report me for spam. It's going on the timeline. I'll have to post different pictures to bypass that rule, but it's happening. Like, if he LeSean McCoy fumbles in this game at the 20-yard line for the Jags, definitely roasted.
Yeah, at that point, it's another story. It's, you know, the superstar. I have hope. I have hopes that Sonny Michel is going to be, like, really, really good. The shit he did with the ball in his hands in college was just absurd. He made guys look silly, and I get it, it's college. But he did just look a little different. And I don't know, man. They drafted a running back in the first round. That should say a lot about what they feel about him.
Yeah, I think he's going to be good, too. It's all fun. Like, I actually want Sonny Michel to play good. So... But it's just going to – if he just makes that bad play, it's going to be an inside joke between me, Alonzo, and the three people who listen to this podcast, the CN, Sonny Michel, cross-eyed. You're just going to love it, unless the Patriots are down 14-0.
Yeah, we'll all hate it then. By the way, if Edelman was healthy this game, they'd go 11 all day and just try to shred him.
And they would, because Ramsey's no match for the bearded champion. You're right,
that they would. Edelman is the X factor in just about every game because no corner can check him one-on-one.
Definitely not. Yeah, definitely not. So I'm sad again.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they'll win the game. For all my pessimism, I think they're going to win the game. I think the Jags should be favored, though.
Yeah, New England's like a one-point favorite at this point.
Yeah, but the Jags should have beaten them in the AFC Championship game last year, and the Pats don't have their best wide receiver, and they lost their two best wide receivers from the championship game last year, and this time they're on the road. Like, I don't get why they're favored in this game. I really don't.
All right, since I got the score exactly right last game, you know, claps
for
me.
Claps for Riley McCarron for making it possible. I'm going to say,
thanks, Riley. I'll hit you in the DMs for that backdoor money. All right, I'm going to say Pats 24,
ooh.
Jags 13.
All right, I got Pats 20, Jags 16.
All right, we love it. They cover, Pats cover, according to us. We want all the credit.
Not all the credit if we're right, and none of the blame if we're wrong.
Man, I'm, you know, now that football's back, I'm telling you guys, I have a 2 to 3 hour window in between classes, and on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Monday and Wednesday, all I did was watch the Patriots, like, Monday and Wednesday. I was just sitting there over and over again, like, just drooling over Trent Brown in the library.
The worst part is that I can actually see you. Like, someone walks by you, and you're like, oh, my God, come look at this, look at this. And it's Trent Brown cutting Clowney.
Did you see Trent Brown decleat this linebacker? Shut the fuck up. We're trying to study Kim over here, retard. What the hell are you doing in here watching the Patriots? Get the fuck out.
Yeah. All right. Today, who wins today? Ravens, Bengals, and Cincy.
I really want to say Bengals. I really want to say Bengals. I'm going to say Bengals.
I hate the Ravens. That's number one. And number two, I think the Bengals might, like, actually be good this year.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right this year. The Ravens look a little better, but I think they're gonna tail off.
The Ravens, I think, will just have, like, kind of the classic Raven season, and they'll either sneak into the playoffs and make a little bit of noise, or they'll be picking, like, 18th in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. By the way, we also love national media members ranking the Patriots the number 9th team in the NFL in their power rankings.
I hate power rankings so much, because how am I supposed to rank the Pats? How am I supposed to rank the Pats right now? Right now, without Julian Edelman, with Rex Burkhead's brain, like, kind of scrambled, maybe. Sony Michel, we have no idea what he is, and his knee, who knows if he's right. Oh, like, how am I supposed to rank them? If they play a game right now against the Rams, like, yeah, I think the Rams would win. But if they play a game in January, and if the Pats are just grow the way I expect them to, I think the Pats would win. How do I rank these teams? I have no idea. So I hate power rankings. I just hate them in general. Is it the team at that moment, or is it what we expect the team to be, or I don't know. I think they're just stupid.
I'm going to start power ranking one thing every week. Just one thing, like food. I'll power rank food. Like, something, I'll just go full Nick Wright. I'll just go full lecture spiel Nick Wright about everything.
Yeah, but, like, all right, let's say food. If you power rank food, and it's, let's just say, turkey, and it's like, is it turkey at Thanksgiving, or is it turkey in your everyday life? Power rankings are fucking stupid everywhere, anywhere, about anything. I hate power rankings. And if you start making power rankings, I might block you. I might go full Alonzo 1-0 Walls and just block you.
Power rankings, Ben Volen.
Oh, yeah.
One.
Oh, no. If you power rank the worst Ben Volen tweets and takes, like, I'm here for that.
I'm glad you're here for something that I do, and you appreciate something I do, because when I talk about food, it's never appreciated on Twitter. When I talk about Trent Brown, it's barely appreciated. No. You know, when I say that ketchup belongs on tacos, it's not good enough for Alonzo.
Ketchup on tacos is a sin, and you should be hanged. Have you read The Handmaid's Tale? The Handmaid's Tale.
The what?
Good book. No. Recommend it. Yeah.
What's a book? Yeah, reading books in 2018. What am I, 3 years old? I have a Twitter now. Why would I read a book? I can't sit down and read a book.
I mean, you do you, man. read your fucking textbooks. Right,
what's about this book?
Just read the book. All right, that's a title talk book recommendation.
Jesus Christ.
Read the fucking book. Or at least read the Spark Notes, okay? Read the Spark Notes.
All right. Jesus, Alonzo wants us all to better ourselves. This is really stupid. All
right, don't better yourselves. Just check your fucking Twitter and fantasy teams and, like, yeah.
Just retweet a bunch of cat videos. And, oh, by the way, I retweeted a video of a hippo today. So that was a lot better than reading a book.
Is it the video of the hippo taking a shit?
No, it was a little hippo, it was a little baby hippo running out of the corner before they get massively dangerous and
want to kill you in the wild. There's a great video on Barstool of a hippo taking a shit in the wild. And I think that might be the Pats offense this weekend.
Oh, because they're going to shit all over the Jaguars? Yeah, I agree. The shit all over the Jaguars. Holy crap. You heard it
Let's
here.
Go.
You're here yeah? first. You're going to shit on them.
Let's go with that.
Let's go. All right, buddy. All right, buddy. I will see you tonight on the Twitter sphere. And
go Pats.
Go Pats.
Go reading.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.